Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Empowerment Place Ministries Using Your Keys broadcast. This is your host, Valerie Burrell, grateful and thankful to each of you who has joined us on this evening for another empowerment message. We're grateful this evening, so very grateful this evening for our special guest, Dicey Oldmore, who is an amazing woman of God who embraces her purpose in the earth with vigor. She is the founder of Dicey Ministries, and it's a phenomenal women's ministry here in the Richmond area. Dicey's vision is to empower individuals to become healed and whole, to walk out the plan of God, walk out the plan God has for their lives. She references Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Dicey, we are excited that you're with us on this evening, and I'm not going to prolong this any further. I'm going to turn it over to you now, and you can move as the Lord leads. Amen?
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Sister Valerie. I am just honored, and I give God praise because I never thought I would be in this type of platform. So, again, I thank you for the invitation. And thank you once again for allowing us to put Dicey Ministries in a platform that really shows what we are all about. And if you want more information about Dicey Ministries, you can visit www.diceyministries, and that's D-I-C-Y Ministries, .com, as we have an upcoming conference in September 24th through the 26th. But I was asked to give a word from the Lord today, and so I'm going to be obedient in that request, and God has a word for you, and this word has been pressing in my spirit. So I please pray, God, that someone is edified by what you have allowed me to minister, that you would get the glory, and God, that people would go out and share and would be recipients of what you are about to do. So God, we give you glory and praise. I will be coming from John chapter 8, verse 3 through 9, and in the New International Version, it reads, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?' They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, 'Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her.' Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing." Ever since God planted Dicey Ministries in my spirit, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future," weighed very heavy upon me. But one day God showed me how important the text in Jeremiah and this text in John 8, verse 3 through 9, helped to provide a summary of my journey and ministry. Just like God reminded me, he wanted me to remind each and every woman that he has a plan for your life. God reminded me of the times I was lost, broken, and confused. God reminded me of the times I was in situations and places I had no business being, doing things I had no business doing, and with people who did not mean me any good. It was like he was playing my life right before my eyes, playing my past actions, playing my past attitudes upon the screen of my life. He took me to one particular event where I found deliverance. I was crying out to the Lord, surrendering myself to him. And for the first time in my life, I felt as though I could breathe. For the first time in my life, I was able to take a good look at myself in the mirror. For the first time in my life, I felt free, free to simply be who God made me to be. Part of the process included learning how to walk like I was free, talk like I was free, and act like I was free. I felt a release in my spirit. I found myself in a place where I was able to once again hear the plans God had for my life. Yes, I had heard them once before, but my life changed in a bad way, and the plans soon became a distant memory. Before that moment in the floor, the place I call my dirt, I never thought I would have accepted the call of a preacher, traveled to Ghana, became a satellite pastor to a congregation in Pakistan, or preached the gospel. But God said, I know the plans I have for you. These plans will only prosper you. And prosperity does not necessarily mean money, as it comes in different forms, such as anointing, gifts, talents, and relationships. And these plans will not harm you, but they will give you hope and a future. Well, I'm here tonight to tell you that God has a specific plan designed just for you. All you have to do is learn how to recognize his voice and become obedient to his instructions. Many of us have been through a lot in our lives, and we think God will never use us. Well, I want you to know that the plans that God has for you has never changed. Remember, he knew you while you were in your mother's womb, and God wants you to know that you are free, and he has given you the keys and the power to walk in freedom. You see, my freedom moment, my position of humility, was found on the floor where I was able to connect with this unnamed woman in the text. You see, the floor was actually my moment in the dirt. It was there Jesus got dirty for me. So if I was to give a title to this message, it would be, I am in the dirt. I am in the dirt. And my question to you is, do you have a connection with Jesus? Does your connection with him move you to a place where you can proclaim who you are loud and clear? And has Jesus ever showed up for you? And more importantly, what position were you in? Was it one of humility? Was it one of regret? Or was it one of gratefulness? Perhaps my question should be, did you recognize him when he showed up? You see, many preachers and teachers minister from this text about grace, mercy, and forgiveness. They focus on the Pharisees and their bold action. They even say the writings in the sand were the sins of the accusers, making it difficult for the stones to be thrown at this woman. They often focus on the sin of this woman and how she was provided grace. And at the end of this particular story, Jesus turns and tells her to go and sin no more. But never have I heard a sermon where they focused on the actions of Jesus toward this woman. By this I mean, never have I heard anyone preach on Jesus getting dirty by bending down on that dusty ground to write on behalf of this woman. You see, this woman was standing, but Jesus was the one bending. Jesus was the one in an uncomfortable position, getting his hands dirty for this woman who, according to her accusers, had broken the law of Moses by committing adultery. He placed himself in this position twice. Think over the times how you have found yourself in an uncompromising situation or in a place where you wondered, how am I going to get out of this? Now think of the outcome. Did you come out saying, I should have never made it out of this? Did you ever think that it was Jesus bending down in the dirt for you so you could move forward in the plans that are destined for your life? Yes, we know Jesus suffered and died for us, but have you ever given thought to the notion that he got dirty for you? How many times has Jesus had to move from a place of peace to get in the dirt to write on your behalf? Let me set the scene for you before we get to the story of this woman and Jesus. In chapter 7, Jesus and the disciples were attending the Feast of Booths, which is also called the Feast of the Tabernacles. And during this feast, the Jews would leave their homes and live in tents or temporarily erected shelters to remember the time God provided for the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. They would get their water from wells and pools of the city each day using clay pots, and this water was used for washing, cooking, and cleaning. Also, each morning, the priests would also gather at the pool of Siloam, which was near the temple, and take it to the gate of the city, which was called the Water Gate, and the water would be poured out as an offering to God as a visual reference of rain. And as the procession would move toward the gate, the trumpets would sound from the temple, and the priests would recite Isaiah 12, verse 3. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. But on the seventh and final day, the ritual was magnified. So if we go to John 7:37, it serves as a representation of the final day of the feast. I need for you to use your imagination. Can you see this procession taking place, a grand parade going through the city? Everyone is caught up in the meaning of the celebration. God's blessings are being poured out on his people as the rain for the harvest. People are singing and chanting Isaiah 12, verse 3. And then all of a sudden you hear a loud voice saying, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." This was Jesus shouting during this holy moment. He was basically saying, "I am the God who gives the blessings of the rain on the harvest. I am the God who provides for his people. I am the Messiah." Well, that stopped everything. People were calling him a prophet. Some were calling him the Christ, and others were saying, "Who is this man? He couldn't possibly be the Messiah, the offspring of David." Some of them wanted to have him arrested. However, they could not because of his time had not come. But yet the Pharisees were angry. They were the religious experts and judges. They knew the law. They were angry that Jesus had the audacity to interrupt this important ritual ceremony of remembrance. So now here we are at the beginning of chapter 8. Scene change. Jesus is now peacefully in the temple early in the morning, teaching about the kingdom of God with multitudes sitting around him captivated. Then all of a sudden, the Pharisees drag a humiliated woman to stand before Jesus, and they tell him about her sins. This was supposed to be a test for Jesus. They wanted justice. For me, this moment, nothing else matters. For me, at this moment, this text wasn't even about the Pharisees. This wasn't even about the sin of adultery. It wasn't even about grace or mercy, which is found throughout the Bible. At this moment, for me, this text was about Jesus, the woman, and the dirt, which brings me to my first point. When Jesus stands up for you, you need to expect the stones. When Jesus shows who you are to others, expect the stones. Expect them not to understand. Expect them to turn a deaf ear. Expect them to try and dismiss what you do, what you say, or what you hear. These are the very individuals you need to dismiss, just like Jesus dismissed the Pharisees. Those who cannot understand your I am proclamations, the proclamations which define who you are and tell others how God sees you, those who cannot celebrate your destiny, those who cannot understand that you are walking in purpose, those who want to keep you disheveled, humiliated, and hidden are often the very individuals who really want your anointing. These are your haters. They feel as though if they don't acknowledge it, you won't either. We all know the saying that knowledge is power. So when you know who you are and whose you are, trust me, you don't need them anymore. The truth is, some of these people need to be left on the side of the road anyway. God has individuals who are standing and waiting to help you on your journey, to help you move towards your destiny and walk in your calling. But you have to keep it moving. Staying behind, you see, will only hurt you. This brings me to my second point. Proclaiming who you are will prevent you from missing opportunities. Here is this woman standing before Jesus, the one who had the attention of a crowd of people. I am sure that she heard of him. I am sure she heard of this powerful ministry. I am sure she heard of the miracles that he performed. I am sure she heard of his healing hands. And now she was standing before him with all of her dirty laundry being aired publicly. But instead of saying, stone her, here he was saying, I'm going to help her. I am sure she was thinking, as he was bending down in the dirt, what is he? No one has ever done this for me before. People always want something from me, but he is different. How many people have bent down and got dirty to help you, to save you from spiritual harm? How many people want to see you walk victorious? And more importantly, are you willing to do this for yourself or for another? Could this be the moment that you will move from being invisible to being noticed, from being noticed to being trusted, from being trusted to being identified as obedient, from being trusted to being used, from being trusted to walking in power? You see, proclaiming who you are will prevent you from missing the opportunity to bury your past and allow you to experience a rebirthing from a learned moment of testimony. These opportunities also include relationship. No matter how much people proclaim, I am Pastor so-and-so, I am Reverend so-and-so, I am Prophetess so-and-so, this means nothing to those whom they attempt to minister to if they bring no anointing or personal relationship with God. They are simply becoming creators of spiritual destruction. However, you can make a difference. Let your actions proclaim your relationship with God. Let your actions reveal your anointing, reveal your power, reveal your desire to intentionally create and birth relationships with others so that you can create life. You see, the Pharisees had no power, therefore they carried death in their hands. However, Jesus was life. He showed this as he shared his relationship with God the Father and was intentional about the relationships he developed with others. This brings me to my final point. You have been set up. I believe all of this was a setup, and just like the Pharisees tried to set up Jesus and show that he was a fraud, our being here together at this moment in time was a setup. I need you to put yourself in the place of this woman. Here you are standing before Jesus, who is bending over, getting ready to write in the dirt. He is telling you not to diminish your value and worth by accepting the hurtful words others have spoken over you. Do not diminish your value or worth by living a lie and becoming what others who mean you no good have defined you to be. You are not worthless. You are not nothing. And you are not significant, insignificant. You see, God has chosen you. God calls you his daughter. God calls you powerful. God calls you anointed. God calls you strong. God calls you his. You see, what I got out of this text is the power of who we are is in the dirt. Dirt from which man and woman were created in the book of Genesis by God the Father. Dirt which stays on you until it is washed off with water. And now in this text, the living water was bending in the dirt. getting ready to do something for this woman, something that is only mentioned once in the Gospels, and that was right. Nowhere else in the Bible does it mention Jesus writing anything. But here, for this woman, he writes where? In the dirt. Not on paper so it could be remembered, but in the dirt, where it could be walked on, played on, and easily forgotten. I can go along with the idea that Jesus was writing the sins of the Pharisees before them so they could not cast stones at this woman, as some have preached. But I also believe Jesus was writing out the plans for this woman. I believe Jesus was writing how he saw this woman and who she was in the kingdom of God. I believe he was writing so the Pharisees could clearly see who God had called her to be. But I also believe Jesus was writing out her sins so that once people walked over them, donkeys walked over them, and children played over them, the sins were erased. No longer would they be able to be seen. Yes, it would be a journey, but now she realized her life had a purpose. Her sins no longer mattered as she had experienced grace and mercy. Now she was able to realize her value. Jesus, the Messiah, had become her kinsman redeemer and was letting everyone know she was not worthless, she was not insignificant, and she was not nothing, but she was priceless and her life had meaning. I believe that what Jesus wrote became a symbolic line in the sand that provides hope. Hope that even when you are in your darkest places, hope that even when you are in your humiliating moments, Jesus will show up and remind you of the plan he has for your life. You see, eventually this woman had to cross this line in the dirt. She had to walk into her I am. I believe when this woman walked across the line Jesus drew in the dirt, it was also a symbolic recreation of walking in the anointing that had been asleep inside of her. Crossing that line means walking into something new and leaving the old behind. The line serves two purposes, a finish and a start. Done are the ways that brought us to our knees because we are lost and our lives seem over. Done are the days when we hang our head in shame. Done are the days when we allow others to misuse and abuse us. But starting are the days where we live anew. Starting are the days when we walk with our head held high. Starting are the days we walk in the authority and power God has given to us. Starting are the days we know who we are and whose we are. Are the days we follow the footprints that God had already planned for us that guides us towards our destiny. Starting are the days we no longer need to look to the sand, the dirt, for what God is writing about us because we can clearly hear his voice. Starting are the days we are able to look to the hills from whence cometh our help, feeling the sun shining on our face, the anointing flowing through our veins, and the presence of God with every beat of our heart and breath that we breathe. Have you experienced your line? Has it been drawn and you are still unable to move? Are you able to make out Jesus' writing? Is it in a language you cannot understand, or are the words too much for you to accept? Or have you crossed the line and are standing frozen to move, refusing to move because you don't know where to go? Or have you crossed the line and are moving but are missing the places where you need it, are needed, and you are leaving people standing and waiting for you to arrive? Yes, tonight was a setup. This moment was destined by God. You have to truly understand who you are. You have to understand God has been waiting for you to stand and proclaim, I am a prophet, I am a teacher, I am a preacher, I am a prayer warrior, I am a woman of God formed as clay into the shape that he desires for me to be. This moment with Jesus and the dirt had to happen for me. This was a setup so the I am of God could connect with my I am. Do you hear that? Some of you are now hearing the chains falling to the ground. They serve as evidence of how much power comes with your I Am declarations. You had the keys all along. Today is the perfect day to both finish and begin again. Today is the day to cross that line. Learn to become clay, and you understand God will always make you into a vessel he can use. You see, the best pots are always made from damaged clay. You need to learn the power of your story. Wear it like a badge. You may have went through hell, but it does not define you. You are a survivor with a ministry. Learn to surrender and walk in obedience. Learn to realize your life has seasons and you must embrace them in order to gain knowledge. Learn to walk in constant prayer. Learn what it means to be a worshiper. Where is your line? Can you see it? Are you ready to cross it? Once you cross that line, God is waiting for you to proclaim who you are in him. Just as the woman was not alone when it was revealed, you are not alone today. Just as she had to walk into what Jesus wrote in the dirt on her behalf, so do you. Once you take this step, you now become accountable. You can no longer walk in a manner less than who God has called you to be. This will not be easy, but trust me, it will be worth it. You will face opposition, not just from man, but from the enemy. But just know that you are equipped and you are power. You are one of God's greatest weapons, and no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. But God will do everything that he has promised. You just have to stand in his word, and he will fight your battle. Jesus never stated this woman was worthless. But the moment he was nailed to the cross, he said she was worth it. Just like this woman, the death and resurrection of Christ made you worth it. No matter the journey you took to get to this place, you matter. If you don't remember anything else, remember what my good friend Sheila Battle challenges every woman who encounters Dyson Ministries to say daily. I am chosen, I am enough, and I am a daughter. My sisters, take back your power and declare I am everything that God has created me to be. And God, we surrender this up to you. May the women and men of God be edified by the word that you have given me, your humble servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. Wow. Wow. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. Wow. Wow. Dicey, thank you. Thank you.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Wow. 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 Yeah. There's not a lot of times you'll find me speechless. But this is one of those moments when I know that what you've released is for the audience that's listening now and for those who will listen in the archives. One thing that drew me to Dicey and Dicey's ministry is that we both have a heart for women and seeing women healed and whole. And it was amazing to me because I had spoken to the ministers that are attached to Empowerment Place, and we had started talking about doing a conference next month entitled Amen. I Am. But then when Amen. I began to look at what you had, I was like, God, she's there. Oh, my God, she's there. She's right there with I Am. And so with this word, it was the very same scripture that God Amen. Gave me for July that you released on tonight.
Praise God.
With a woman. God. And God forgive it. So I thank you. I thank you. I thank you so much for being used by God to speak this word into the lives of those who have an ear to hear. There is change that God wants to take place in our lives, but we have got to stand up, and like you said, when we stand up in what God, when God stands up for us, we're to expect the stones, because not everybody is going to be in agreement with what God has said about us and what he's purposed us to do in the earth. Not everyone is going to be happy about the anointing on our lives, and not everybody is going to be happy because of the blessings that are pouring over into our lives and our children's lives. They're not going to be happy about that.
Yes.
But that is a time that we are to reassess our circle of influence. And if it's not of God, it's okay to just go ahead and dismiss it.
Amen. Amen.
Because God has people in place now. He has people in place now that he desires that you connect with to take you to your next place in him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you. If there are ones on the line tonight who would desire prayer, if you press 1, we can bring you in live. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If not, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dicey, if there's anything additional you want to add about the ministry or about your conference, if you want to do that, and then if you would just pray us out as this word continues to marinate in the spirit of those who are listening on tonight. And as you stated, you know, we're beginning to hear the chains drop. You know, their minds are being renewed, and they're really embracing who they are. And I like that declaration that Sheila gave about I am. And if you would, on your Facebook page, if you could just write that declaration out, and I'll share it on my page so that people can begin to get that in their spirit and hold
Amen.
On to that, because we are chosen. We are his daughter, and there's great things that he wants to do through us, but we've got to come to a place of reckoning and accountability with him so that he can do that very thing with us. So glory to God.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I am chosen. I am enough. And I am a daughter was birthed out of Sheila Battle when she ministered at the very first I Am conference. And it was her journey. It was as though as God was completing a part of her journey to let her know that she was not crazy, that she knew that God had called her to do something wonderful and to help women and individuals, period, to get into a place of spiritual healing and wholeness. But it's important that we walk out who we are. We have this conference every year, and in fact, Sheila will be ministering at this conference. And it will be at Mountain Movers Ministry, which is located at 885 Research Road right here in Richmond, Virginia. And we are excited about it, and the cost is only $20. We make it affordable for everyone. It starts on September 24th, that evening, on Thursday evening, and we have all-day plenary sessions on Friday. And then we also have a worship service on Friday night, and Saturday morning we have a worship service and we close it out. But it is awesome. The mothers of this ministry also minister and they pour into the daughters. The beauty of this conference and this ministry is we are all sisters. There are no titles. We all
Amen.
Help each other. We all encourage each other. We all minister one another. We all serve as this ministry. The ministry, I tell everyone, may have my name, but it's for everyone to do whatever God has called them to do inside of the ministry. We have journey moments where we have monthly check-ins. That's a little bit different than other conferences because we don't plant words into you and leave you alone. We help you walk out this journey. We help you deal with the difficult moments in your life and in your past, anything that may be hindering you from walking in your calling. We help you deal with that. We have a great base with counselors, life coaches, if the finances are holding you back, we have a financial counselor. We have these type of resources in here because we want everyone to minister. If you feel as though you're called to something, I say that Dicey Ministries is an umbrella. We provide you a safe space to be able to work out your ministry. We provide if you feel like you're going to fall, we're not going to let you. We're going to encourage you to get back up and to keep going. If one person hears the word of God from your voice, then you are successful. That's what God has called us to do, is to minister to one another. That is what Dicey Ministries is all about. So I encourage every woman who is on this line, come and experience with us on September 4th through 26th. And again, it's only $20. For more information and for the list of the speakers, go to www.diceyministries.com. That's D-I-C-Y ministries.com. And if you have any questions, there's a contact me page, and you can just contact me, and I will respond myself. I don't have anybody else do it. I respond. But I was just so honored to minister to women tonight, and praise God for choosing the text and the message. And I encourage every woman to walk out who you are. Don't let your past define you. To move into exactly who God has called you to be. I know what it's like because in my life it has been hard. But the moment that I realized that I was getting lost in my past, I was allowing it to cover up who I was, the moment I broke free, something changed. And it gave me the courage to say, yes, God, you've called me at the age of 12, but it's amazing, God, no matter what I did, no matter what I drank, what I smoked, no matter who I was with, you still, God, said, that's okay, daughter, I'm going to clean you up. Don't worry about it. Your sins are forgiven. You said yes to me, and I got you covered. I had you covered the whole way through your darkness. Whatever you had to suffer, I was right there. Whatever tears you cried, I was right there. But sometimes God allows us to go through things because these challenges, these situations that we went through have to become our ministry. How can we minister to others about something if we have never gone through it? It's easy to be behind the glass door and tell someone to get saved, but unless you're ready to walk it out with them and suffer through their challenges, the road ahead can be difficult, but you have to be able to walk it through with them, to hold their hand, to understand their pain, and because you become the evidence of what the other side looks like.
Amen.
So amen. I will go ahead and pray us out. And amen. So, God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your spirit that has been with us all day long. And thank you, O God, for continuing to allow your presence to manifest itself. And so, God, may every woman or every person that was on the line that heard your word, allow it, O God, to do something to them. Even if it was one sentence that they heard that gave them the power to move, we thank you, God, for that. We thank you, oh God, on how you're going to continue to bless what Sister Valerie is doing here, the people that she's reaching, oh God, the women who may not have the courage to reach out to someone and tell them that they need help, but they're able to listen to her broadcast and they are able to receive a word that will keep them going to the moment, oh God, where they are able to reach out and say, I need some assistance. We ask, oh God, that you bless the ministers that are with her, oh God, to touch them and give them a special anointing, oh God. Breathe fresh fire through them, oh God, to be able to touch the women, oh God, in a way that no one else can. And God, in the end, you get all the glory, honor, and praise. We ask that you bless each and every listener who is listening live and who may be listening to the archives, that your anointing will continue to flow through. And we give you all glory and honor and praise for how you use us, and your grace and mercy continues to abide. May we never be out of character, but strive to continue to live a righteous life. And we thank you for picking us up when we fall down. It's in Jesus' name that we worship and praise you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us this evening for another word of empowerment. At the empowerment place, we share with each of you that you are the key to your own empowerment, that if you desire change in your life, you've got to be willing to do what it takes to make that change occur. We also encourage you that every day do something to empower yourself. And once you've been empowered, we want you to take the responsibility to empower someone else. We ask that you join us again on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock a.m., where we will have a message from Minister Hope Brogdon, one of the ministers with the Empowerment Place. We know that that will be another word, another teaching to strengthen us in this journey. Dicey, thank you again for being with us, for speaking into our lives, and for evoking change in the lives of those who are ready for it. We love you here at the Empowerment Place. If you need us, you can find me on Facebook, Valerie Burrell, our page, The Empowerment Place. If you have prayer requests or questions, you can email me at empower_yourself@yahoo.com or call us at 804-658-3159. God loves you. We love you too. Have a good night.